Here we are. We are coming in live to DS 106 Radio with some utopian tendencies. Will this show live up to its name today? I just don't know. I'm actually leaving that in the hands of my esteemed host, co-host, colleague, Lauren Haywood. What is going down?
Hello. let's see if we can find something utopian out of what we're going to play today. Well, it'll happen.
We're
never sure, and then it happens anyway, so.
It will happen.
Stick with posy vibes.
I'll actually say this, too. The conversations we've been having have been having, like, effects in pretty much every part of my life, but specifically, Tim and I and Reclaim Hosting in general are working on this thing called the Reclaim Cloud, which is going to be something else we provide in the next couple of months. And one of the things we're doing as we're preparing that is we're working with Brian Mathers to come up with an aesthetic for the cloud. And you will be happy to know that it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek, retro-futurist, utopian visual of like what could be, with the tongue-in-cheek being that nothing is perfect and a lot of our analogies or metaphors don't fully work. So, and that's intentional. But it's really in some ways inspired by this idea of, you know, visions of utopia from another time, you know, taking us back to more, looking at, you know, the SpaceX stuff and how that's not tongue-in-cheek and it's really almost, you know, disastrously literal. So anyway, it's been important for me thinking through some of the new stuff we've been doing. And Tim found this amazing series called It's Closer Than You Think, or Closer Than You Think, or Closer Than We Think, which was like a 1950s, how would you say it? Almost like advertisement in the newspaper about the future. So we're playing with that idea because it's super utopian. And as much of the nuclear 50s and 60s retrofuturism was. So I'm feeling pretty utopian about the Reclaim Cloud.
That's good. You should be.
Even though it's not, you know, there's nothing utopian about it. It's probably the last thing I should be talking about. But it's kept me focused. Let's just say that. Actually,
yeah. No, that's good.
The service we're using right now to communicate is running on Reclaim Cloud. It's a Jitsi Neat. It's pretty slick, right?
Yeah, it's really good. I'm liking it.
Yeah, and we'll actually access some of the technology in a second. But I wanted to ask you, Lauren, you've been attending the Apero online conference. I think that's how you say it, Apero. And I'm wondering your impressions.
Yeah, that's... man, it's early in the morning for this kind of conversation. I'm not a morning person, so I'm going to throw that out there. It's been really good. I'm definitely... obviously, I do stuff in educational technology stuff or whatever, and my job is around looking at digital fluency and stuff like that, and new digital projects coming in and whatever at the university that I work at. But it's been interesting, kind of the presentations so far at the conference have been going through Apero projects, so different open source software projects. So each of the projects is, you know, like software kind of infrastructure that can be used at universities as an alternative to using, you know, service, like managed service kind of privatized options or whatever kind of thing. So it's been useful just kind of having that kind of quick overview of lots of different interesting projects and kind of seeing a lot of the projects as well are managed and developed by educators as well. So kind of them talking about how they've thought through, you know, the implications of different functionalities or accessibility considerations and stuff like that. I don't know, it's just a completely different experience than, you know, suppliers, like external suppliers, and being told what, you know, education and stuff like that. Instead, it's educators talking about the tools that they're making to service education or whatever kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been really good. I'm absolutely novice. Going over my head a little bit. Nice. Seeing people enthusiastic about the projects that they're working on and things like that as well. There's been interesting keynotes. Yesterday, I haven't got any notes up because they're all on my other laptop rather than this laptop. But yeah, there's been some interesting discussions as well going on.
Yeah, I about to say something. I saw the one from Kathleen Fitzpatrick about basically bringing some of that stuff in-house and developing the infrastructure locally and sharing resources between schools. I think that's kind of what she was saying. I mean, she does a lot of stuff with the CUNY Commons in a Box, and she's at Michigan State, and they have a really great crew. And I saw folks writing about her keynote, which seemed really interesting. And the idea of how do you fund these open source projects and how do you make them sustainable, which is really interesting to me.
Yeah, definitely. There's also yesterday, Michael Feldstein did a session on resilience network. So, trying to set out the different issues that we have at the moment around how to resist privatization or or you were talking about it in yesterday in relation to the issues that we're facing now to the crisis scenario that we've had with medical supply chains and stuff like that in light of COVID, like that resources exist. So like we you know, there were ventilators available, but they were in warehouses being repaired, or there was difficulties getting new ventilators from one factory to the hospital and stuff like that. And talking about that as a almost analogous to that we faced in kind of everyone trying to shift to an online teaching mode kind of thing, that there are resources available, but don't necessarily know where they are. So when people are making massive Google Docs of all these different resources to deliver and make quick decisions, don't have the time to review all these amazing resources or maybe perhaps not so amazing resources. And talking about, we need to be, I suppose, smarter about who actually has the expertise to document or right resources for others to use kind of thing, because people can be well-intentioned and try and write, I don't know, technical guides to use a particular tool or, you know, different pedagogical kind of approaches you can take. But actually, a lot of people are writing those almost in a crisis mode, just trying to help others, and they're not necessarily the best placed person to write that. So, just potentially how we could be future or moving forward now at this point, now that people have tried to make different resources, actually, you know, I don't know if people are using whatever particular video conferencing software, whatever else.
How many times did he say learning engineer?
I don't know. I don't remember him saying that.
I saw Brian Olendijk talking about learning engineers, and that's a new, I think Feldstein and CMU is that what it is? Carnegie Mellon University? I think so. They're putting a lot of money and research into this learning engineer, which is a concept that's been around in a while. Audrey Waters has a pretty intense critique of it, which I think makes a lot of sense. And learning engineering is a new kind of, I don't think it's new, but it's gaining some traction as an idea of, you know, how do we really take full account of the impact of our learning? And I don't think it's without, you know, it's worth considering, but I the term is very hard for me to take.
Yeah,
to take entirely seriously, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a bizarre phrase. I didn't hear that. I haven't, honestly. A lot of this stuff as well, like, I feel like it's rare that I get to, I don't spend much time reading people's blog posts or even looking at Twitter or whatever else, because, yeah, I just don't have time for it. I have a full-time job or whatever to be getting on with. So those kind of phrases kind of pass me by. I literally haven't heard that phrase before, but although, yeah, it sounds a little bit.
I think his resilience network stuff might be, I mean, I think it's related, but I think it's somewhat different. So that's a talk I'd like to see before I say too much, but I would. I'm interested in rewatching those keynotes. And Apero, I mean, from what I've seen, looks to be a really interesting group of folks doing interesting things. So I'm kind of jealous you spent the time. I'm happy you spent the time, but I wish I would have spent the time too going through that this week. But my head is in the cloud.
It feels a little bit, I don't know. I was going to say indulgent, but I literally, like everyone, literally be just plowing through whatever is coming next kind of thing to kind of keep up with the needs of everything that's going on right now. Because it's following a EDT schedule, like basically 9 a.m. kickoff there is 2 p.m. my time. So it just means if I can get a load of stuff out of the way in the morning, I can drop in the afternoon and watch until whenever kind of thing. So the conference is closed and online, but all the videos of all the presentations and stuff will be on the Apero YouTube channel, so at a later date people can have a look through at some point if you're interested.
I think it's a really good investment of your time, frankly. I do. I think it's an interesting group. I know Anne-Marie Scott's connected with them, and like they try and fund and help local open source projects coming out of universities. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. It's a powerful idea to try and bring some of that back in house. So much of it's been outsourced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's utopian thinking.
We're all over the utopian. So now, I think we should probably. I mean, do I have to do like a formal acknowledgement that I'm not familiar with the grime genre and that of music, and that has come to the chagrin of some folks who I know? And I'm being honest, I have done a bit of research, so I'm not as ignorant as I was moving up to this discussion.
I feel people that were calling you out. I'm not surprised you haven't heard of grime. That's absolutely fine. I think a lot of people have heard the term, or they might know of a couple of, particular songs that have come out recently that are well known now in the UK. I'm not surprised you haven't heard of it. I'm a little bit surprised you haven't heard the term at all. But it's fine not to have heard different. You wouldn't if you don't know particular musicians or you don't know particular songs. That's fine. You're about to learn.
I know the term grime. I just associate it with like bathroom shower tiles or something that.
Not the capitalized grime.
Grime. Which is interesting though. And I swear I'm going to let us get to the topic at hand. But it's funny, our last discussion about which is in line with the grime discussion, because it was about electronic music in the UK and the birth of all these kind of not only different movements, but the reaction from the powers that be, which from what I'm reading, there was a similar thing with Form 696 in grime. But one of the things that I found compelling about our last discussion, so I'm just going to applaud us, is that I keep on coming back to discussions about like sound systems. Antonella is translating a bit of Marlon James, who's a Jamaican novelist, A Brief History of Seven Killings, which was written in 2014. And it's an interesting book, but one of the pages or two pages she was translating, we were going through last night, talks about Rude Boys, talks about sound systems, talks about the influence of music on this. And it's a novel, so it's like kind of like a rude boy from Kingston in the inner city talking about being part of these sound system parties where they go to break things up. These rude boys go and they're kind of put in intentionally to kind of, you know, create a kind of chaos. And I was like, wow, before 2 weeks ago, I hadn't heard of this sound system movement. Now everywhere I'm looking, I'm reading about it and finding this history. So I'm really loving that history. So to get more of it with Grime is super exciting for me. So please let the education begin.
Okay, cool. So yes, sound systems, I think, as well, and pirate, like two things as well that fit really well with DS-106 radio and I suppose, yeah, like DIY tech stuff in general as well. So so like sound and also like audio engineers and stuff like that, people that can actually set up like people as well and a community that would help.
You know what? I have to apologize here for a second. Your connection is perfect, but I'm losing you, and I think it's mine. Okay. So this is a connection problem on my side. And I'm going to see if we can't get this going. Okay, yeah. That's decent. What the fuck with that? Okay, I'm back on the air. Let's see if we can get this back and going. Hopefully we can. So DS-106 radio is running into, hey, Lauren, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So this is on me. I don't know what it is. I just got fiber, but my connection is good supposedly now, but it's been odd. So that was me. We're back. You were coming in and out a little bit previously, so if you restart, that might be most useful.
Okay. So I was just going to clarify or go back to what sound systems are. So sound systems are like a group of MCs and audio technicians. I keep seeing like a little... Are you still there? I think you might drop.
I am here.
Okay, cool. I keep seeing like a little red button that comes up saying that your connection is poor.
My connection is poor. I don't know why, frankly. I'm kind of, I wonder if, just give me a second to think and see. No, it's not poor anymore. It's super fast. No, it should be fine now. Let's let it roll.
Okay, cool. If in doubt, you can always try and play tracks on your end if you want to do, but that probably won't work anyway. But anyway, yeah. So sound systems come out of Jamaica originally, but they're kind of groups of audio engineers and MCs and the technical equipment that you need to set up your own music space. So people would turn up with turntables and speaker stacks and the group of people that you need to put on a live show kind of thing. And then that was influential in the UK we saw last week with the beginning of UK house and rave culture, where people would set up their own DIY kind of music spaces and people would bring their own equipment and stuff like that. But I also wanted to mention pirate radio in the UK, which is very influential with, the rise of all sorts of different genres, but with grime as well. Basically in the UK, for a long time, it was only the BBC that could broadcast radio in the UK. So in the 60s, you get kind of different kind of hippie-ish kind of pop music types that would set up radio stations on ships offshore so they couldn't be...
I saw that pirate radio movie.
Yeah, so it begins with that, but then as you kind of move forwards, different community groups that like their music or their communities aren't represented through the stuff that the BBC kind of broadcasts would set up their own pirate radio station. So it's kind of iconic that at the top of a tower block, so like a block of flats or whatever, or apartments in London or major cities in the UK, people would set up like radio broadcasting equipment. And grime definitely grew up through the different communities that that set up their own pirate radio stations. I wanted to start today by playing a jungle track rather than grime. This is Mbeat's Incredible with General Levy on it. So Mbeat is a jungle beat maker, and then General Levy is the MC on the track. But I thought this would be a good start to kind of like get into the early 90s kind of vibe that was coming out of pirate radio at the time. I'm just thinking we should start playing music.
Let's do it. I love it.
Okay, cool. Let's go.
Wicked, wicked, jungle is massive. Wicked, wicked, jungle is massive. Wicked, wicked, jungle is massive. Wicked, original. Well, big up. All the original jungle is massive. The original dancehall jungle is there. General Levy alongside the MB. The world is in trouble. What will we tell a murderer? It goes, I am the incredible general. Sensation now with the coming. Incredible general. Select to that. Yo, Maddie will have them. I spin them like a windmill. You talk for them, don't tell them how we got this skill. Dance girl nice and let's spend them fun. Right.
So what do you think of that?
That was awesome. Actually, it was really good. I loved how, like, I read a little bit when I was reading about it, like, there's this sense of, like, you know, it's how would you say? It has a lot of fast beats, right? Like, the beats, there's a certain amount of beats per minute that it kind of nails. And that one, you could hear it, like, and then the guy's voice and the whole sense of, again, that long history of the Caribbean and that music in the UK and all the implications of that we heard about last week or 2 weeks ago when we talked about sound systems. It's really almost like a direct lineage. It's really interesting in that regard. And I like the song. Like, it makes you want to dance, right? Like, it really makes you want to, like...
I don't know. Because he's muted.
No, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Oh, you can. Or you can't. Pay as you go, cartel. No we.
Hey, yo, you know left the road. All guns out. East, west, north, and south. Why, Major Ace. God's kid, Maxwell, lead about. Oh. No we, no we. And pass it one, no we. Everybody wants to be a top shooter, shot tougher. Yeah, walk on my papa. I take it up like a helicopter, chopper down sutter. I'll matter any word that I utter. Showstopper, getting hotter, head rocker. Make the girls them melt like butter. Chill up a lapper, lapper for an empty in the gutter. Wanna clash me, then you gotta come proper. Oh, you can, bomb them like Ken. Triple Dragon, never come back again. Punks, imitators, fascios. But they wanna know, then step to my flow. MC Major, V Arranger, you see danger. Never been a troublemaker. Finish what you start by ripping you apart. I'm feared, like the great white shark. No, we. They call me William, I'm gonna make a million. I beg on the police in the style I'm giving them. Put your hands in the air, Give me a year, I'll be a millionaire, Everybody wanna slip with the Mimi, come and get with the Mimi. Everybody wanna come and try flex with the wee wee. I'm gonna be B, a lyrical G, Wiley Lee. I'm gonna get lively, so if you step into my circle, better beware. I'ma live to the end out here, don't care. Wiley number one, at the top of the stairs. No fears, gone clear, car. This is my year, you can't see, but you can hear me in the front and the rear. Ooh, wanna step, come if you're there. My time's near, if it weren't, then I wouldn't be here. Phase one, the first stage of my career. Bit of no we, no we.
Clean a magazine, something up lives like a plays with me. I know what it's like, mate, in a MC's dream. Tell them I'm someone into a dope theme. So much MC's wanna rock and come in. In the in squad, Mr. That is the team. The pun of woman, I got left my machine. Big chain pun, my neck, there's a shine and a gleam. Pass me the keys, Mr. Tommy Audi. The pun of mic, I'm getting rowdy. Excuse me, fussy, don't take me lightly. This Maxwell's not World War III. Can't understand, that's originality. I got no sight and I'm a lyric factory. I'm wicked, wicked like General Levy. My mama and I like Sweetie Irene.
No, we, no, 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 we. And pass it one and no we, no we, and no we. And pass it one and no we, no we, and no we. And pass it one and no we, no we, and no we. And pass it one and no we.
I don't care what you wanna say, say what you wanna. I'm here to make a pound, to make a dollar. When they hear the raping crew, them holler, don't bother. Sign up and gaze like scholar. You feel your hot, watch me get hotter. Me and my crew, we are true top shotter. Love a jack move, cause the jack move's proper. Drop the dough, cause I'm a true dough rocker. Them boy, they are fast, never try class. Step to the G, you'll get your head boss. I know you don't wanna bite the dust, so stay well away, don't come near us. If you're gonna come with it, come rough. Me and animal fuck, we don't bluff. Never come soft, always tough. My selector, you're sounding rough.
No, we, no, no, we.
That's awesome. So I can't hear you, Lauren, but that might be intentional because I see your mic is muted. There you are. You're back.
Okay. Can you hear me, Jim?
I can. I like it.
Because you are muted right now for me.
I am? Hold on. You can't hear me. Hold on. Let me just try something. Ready? Go. I know what happened. Okay, can you hear me now? Oh. Okay, let me try this. I'm wondering if you can hear me now. Microphone is not muted. Okay, let me try this. Do 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 do. Bam. I am muted for you. Huh. Okay. Speakers. Okay, you can't hear me at all? So can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? No, that's definitely not right. Can you hear me now, Lauren? Okay. Let me try and redo this. As you can see, this show is not going as planned. All right. All right, can you hear me now, Lauren? No? Oh, I can't hear you.
I'm muted. I was just saying you're muted for me, so I couldn't hear you, and then I had muted myself because it was tapping.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm not sure what happened, so I had to restart.
Okay. I think both got muted when the YouTube videos.
And I'm wondering, we might have to do this show over, because I'm wondering if when I had to restart because of my connection problems, which seemed to be gone, if it changed the output, so some of that wasn't on the radio. But it's okay, I have a recording of it, so it's not an issue.
Okay.
I have a recording of everything that played. Let's talk a little bit about what were they called? They were called the Pay As You Go crew?
Yeah, so this is a little bit, that was Noe by the Pay As You Go crew. That was a 2000 track, so that's early grime. So the first track was a jungle track. So basically you have house music that we kind of talked about we last met for Utopian Tendencies and like the rise in ravecore stuff in the UK, and then you get kind of jungle and garage and things like that in the 90s. So
what's the difference between jungle and garage?
They just have different rhythms and like different, it's like different go-to beats or whatever.
Got it.
So I don't know. I was going to say the second track was technically a garage track by the Pay As You Go group, but it sounds like the beginnings of grime. Yeah. So grime is quite influenced by the originators of grime, you know, were garage MCs and beat makers, and would have definitely listened to jungle and house and stuff like that. So all of that is influential. It's just they're slightly different ways of or whatever, as MCs is slightly different with different genres. So the track that we just heard is by Pay As You Go and Noe. It's kind of like, it could be an early grime track, but to me it still sounds quite garage influenced or whatever. And basically Pay As You Go would have worked with a particular pirate radio station and like within a particular group, but the Wiley is one of the members of Pay As You Go, and he's one of the early grime artists, and he was both a beat maker and an MC, and he kind of came up with the kind of grime I suppose, where it's still has that syncopated beats and things like that, but it's a bit off kilter and kind of uses what he described as like colder sounds. And I wanted to go on to play one of his early beat making tracks. So a lot of his early stuff, he called them like Eskimo and Igloo, Snowman, Iceman, things like that that would sound cold or whatever. And grime originally was called like Eskimo or Esky beat kind of thing when people were trying to describe this new beat format that wasn't like garage or jungle or house or anything else that had come before.
And so Pay As You Go was an actual radio, like it was a popular radio show on a pirate, on the Rinse FM pirate radio station, which is fascinating. It's just like a popular show that, you know, spun out to a genre almost.
Yeah, so they just would have been a group that turned up and played at a particular time, kind of. So they were a group, and they spun out into other groups. So, what are they called? I'll have to have a look. Rinse is it's still big. It's like an online radio station now.
That's cool.
So Whiting, different people from Pay As You Go went on to be Roll Deep. And Roll Deep included like Dizzy Rascal, Tinchy Strider, Skepta, who are all massive names in grime and UK music now as well. So they all originated from, you know, pirate radio and kind of meeting up in that way to do a show on the radio.
That's super cool, actually. Cool. That is really, I mean, I had no idea that pirate radio in the 2000s, you know, was still so influential on culture. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think... it's just been I can't remember, it was like the Asian network for BBC only got set up, I don't know, like mid-2000s, just for ages, there just wasn't any music that wasn't like, I don't know, like just music that people were making in their bedrooms or in their communities or whatever in the UK, and that's all music starts out. So if you have to be on a mainstream record label or, you know, the whoever is programming BBC radio stations kind of thing, like radio people like John Peel and whatever else, because they were influential in bringing people up. But between having major people like that on BBC radio, like you don't, there's just like this dearth of like good music kind of coming through on BBC radio.
And the same is true in the States. I mean, it wasn't government controlled, it was basically corporate controlled by Clearwater, and they just killed any sense of culture coming out of the radio. And so like it would make it, I don't know the history of pirate radio in the US, you know, but I wonder if that kind of immediately went to the internet or whatever. But like this era in the US, 2000 and beyond, was a complete wasteland for radio. For popular radio, for sure. I mean, Clearwater was, you know, places like WFMU were the exception.
Yeah, none of the pirate radio stations were massive. Like, Rinse is like a big, like, is well known kind of thing as a radio station, but still only within particular groups. Like, it's not within popular culture even really still. Yeah, it's kind of like almost like you knowing your own, you know, the underground kind of band. You listen to bands play. It's like that with the radio. People didn't have physical spaces, but they would have their own illegal radio station. You could like listen in or try and get a slot with you to play your music that you've made. Also, like this interesting things with like beat makers would make a new beat and then press it to vinyl. So you'd literally make something and then go and press it to vinyl. This is like the 90s and 2000s and still now kind of thing. So you'd have like a white label record, and then someone else might just pick from a record store and then decide to be an MC over it kind of thing. That's so in the later on in the playlist there's some examples of
that's
that as
awesome.
Well, so it's very DIY. It's very much like what, you know, people talk about bedroom production now and people making music for the internet and stuff like that. It's an early example of that kind of thing. And it goes on to like I don't know, Skepta and people like that who are well-known grime artists have collaborated with, like, ASAP Rocky and ASAP Mob in the US, and ASAP Mob came up through Tumblr and things like that. There's other people that have come up through MySpace. So again, it's a similar thing where people are doing bedroom music or making music for their friends and then using radio or internet or whatever else to distribute music. Yeah, and SoundCloud, obviously.
Billie Eilish before Billie Eilish.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just saying Billie Eilish is like the almost like, I don't want to say apotheosis because that has the wrong connotation, but like, you know, all of this goes towards where she's a major star, Grammys, mm-hmm. but the whole story of her doing it in her room with her mom being like, okay, I'm going to let you because you're having a creative, you know, streak here, but you can stay up late. Like, my daughter tells me these stories, which I think is fascinating because, like you said, there's a long history, but it's almost now a little bit of lore. Whereas, no, actually, yeah. It's been going on.
Yeah, I think people feel more comfortable making it part of their lore, whereas, I don't know, there's a comfortability with that, maybe. I don't have a problem with Billie Eilish or whatever. She's interested in that she still keeps, like, her brother's still her producer and whatever else. It's an interesting setup, but there, she's obviously from a privileged background. So like you say, it's like, yeah, her mum saw it as her hobby and encouraged it, whereas these people are, a lot of it sounds, I mean, the making is really impressive. But people are literally using whatever software they have available to them or whatever means they have to make music. So sometimes the MC track sounds really tinny because they're using whatever their mic setup is at home or whoever their mates, you know, whatever their mates had, kind of thing.
They talked about this thing called, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it.
They talked about, speaking of that, they talked about this technology called Fruit Loops Cutter or something, which was a particular, like I guess, accessible editing tool for folks to do this, or creation tool, that I'd never heard of. And like you were saying, I was fascinated by the idea that these tools emerged that made these artists, you know, do their work.
Yeah, I haven't heard of Fruit Loops Cutter. I'm a music fan rather than a music maker or whatever, but there's definitely, like, people discuss that now. Like, you hear people going on about, like, whatever software saying, oh, it's better and it's you can do more with it and whatever else, but then people arguing back saying, oh, no, this is cheaper, or actually, if you want to quickly make a beat and then have your mate come in and rap over it, you want to use this software because you want to work quickly, kind of thing. So I don't, there's lots of interesting cultures and kind of almost like folklore around what kind of software and things like that people use.
Yeah, to be clear, I was wrong. It's called Fruity Loops. It was FL Studio until 2003, known as Fruity Loops, is a digital audio workstation that was used, I guess, early on in the grime movement. For creating a lot of these beats, which is so interesting to me. You know what I mean? And I think one of the things that was interesting about that moment when they were using it was so easy to pirate it. Like, one of the things about, you know, being on the web in 1997, even 2000, like, everything was so simple to pirate. It was a great time for the web.
Yeah, sure. Should we play a little bit more music and then we chat?
Yes.
Again?
Yes.
So Eskimo. That was a garage track, but sounds very grime. I'm gonna play Wiley's Eskimo, which I'll check the date when it came out. I think it's like 2002. So the garage track we just heard by Paisigo crew was 2000, technically a garage track that sounds very grime, and then this is Wiley's Eskimo, if I can get it up. Da-da-da.
And here we go. The technology. Thank you. love that one. I like the coldness that you're talking
about.
Okay,
this is the moment where...
where we lose each other.
I've unmuted myself, but you still look muted, Jim.
I think that might be an element of the... Okay, I can hear you. I'm going to... So let me try this. Hold on. Do-do-do-do-do. Can you hear
me? You're back.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think what you have to do is you have to get rid of the video to hear me.
Okay.
So I guess that's cool. It. But I want to actually say to our listeners, thank you for being patient with us. I think we're finding our groove. And just so you know, we're using a software called Jitsi, speaking of software, that's open source to do this show. And Lauren can just play the videos, the YouTube videos, right within it. There's a little thing that says, you know, choose your YouTube video to share. And that's what you're hearing over the radio. But as always, DS106 Radio is experimental. So bear with us. Back to the Eskimo.
Cool. So that was Eskimo by Wiley in 2002. Alex Masters is listening, and he said Fruity Loops, which we were talking about before, it's their music production software. It says Fruity Loops is like GarageBand loops that people use to make music, very basic and hilarious.
Yeah,
is his description of it.
I think it's super cool, like the technology piece. Like we said, also the accessibility through piracy. There used to be sites called Ware sites, WAREZ. And you would go to them and they would have not only the software, but sometimes the key or whatever you needed. And they were everywhere.